Have you ever felt sick and did an online search about what you're feeling? Suddenly, that headache became something much, much worse. Well, you can stop being anxious because ConsultaMD can give you access to much better information straight from licensed doctors, minus the long waiting lines, no appointment needed. The best part is, they're just a phone call or a video call away and as often as you want. You guys have given me the gift of time through listening to my episodes, and I'd like to reciprocate by giving the first 10 listeners the gift of having access to health advice from licensed doctors. Again, courtesy of ConsultaMD, all you have to do is follow our podcast and share this episode on Facebook with the hashtag JobDefined.
Podcast Network Asia.
A lot of people know me as a headhunter, but I'm also an events organizer. From corporate events such as sales conventions to fashion shows and, one of my favorites, a hair show. Two particular hair show events that I've done in the past was for L'Oreal. And within that organized chaos are the people involved in making up the show. Speaking of making up, in those two events, there was only one chief makeup artist that led the makeup team for all the models. It's actually amusing that we've never met in those events, but for sure we breathed the same air, been in the same venue, but never got to talk to each other. But her name did stand out. She has quite a unique name, strong, creative, and just oozing with style. Her name is Verna, and she is our guest for today. She is here not just to define a job, but also to share with us what really makes it up.
As a makeup artist, you offer a service, right? I offer a service, therefore my success is defined by the satisfaction of my client, not my own ego or whatever people are saying, no matter how loud it is said that you're good or you're the best in what you do. Hi, I'm Verna Marin. I'm L'Oreal Paris Chief Makeup Artist for 10 years. I'm also a freelance makeup artist. I do makeup designs. I do consultancy. I work with networks, TV networks, and I also work with corporates.
So Verna, I usually start off with this first question. What was your childhood dream?
Okay, Pat. I wanted to be an architect, an artist, a dancer, an entrepreneur, a teacher.
Wow,
there was a lot of things that I want, Pat. I'm a dreamer. I like role-playing. So it's not just one.
Okay. So multiple dreams before when you were a kid.
Yes. You know, I guess I did tell my parents, you know, I want to be like an architect. That's the one thing I verbalized to my parents. But, you know, I still ended up enrolling in AB marketing with major in advertising and Marinol. No hard feelings to my parents because it's still my decision. But I think you can see how my brain works. I really like to do a lot of things.
So do you think that's the creative in you? That's why there are several things that you actually want to pursue?
Yeah, very much so.
What particular aspect of being an architect made you interested?
I think it's the fact that you create something. Mm-hmm. I thought it's about the discipline of, you know, drawing, holding a pencil. So, remember when you're little, you don't know naman the technical aspect of that. What you would imagine is that you draw a house, come up with something. So now I know, I think it's more like I envisioned myself deciding on the styles, deciding on what shape, what even the colors or the feel of the area that drew me to it.
And then how did you end up in your current career right now?
Oh, it's a long story. I'll make it short. Okay, so I was in the backstage of Teatrino in Green Hills for a dance performance. When I met somebody, I met Lourdes Ramos. He was doing makeup. I was amazed. A friend said, let's ask if he takes in an apprentice. So we did. In less than 3 weeks, I was doing makeup for Philippine Fashion Week. I met more wonderful makeup artists who are selfless in sharing their craft, their knowledge. Jim Ryan Ross was one of them. He brought me to do gigs with Maybelline. He was with Maybelline at that time. I did the makeup of AC Salvador. And that's when I got the offer to work under contract with L'Oreal. The year was 2010. I've experienced being an apprentice, doing makeup for lead roles in theater plays. I did fashion shows, national beauty contest. I won grand prize in a makeup contest. I signed up as a makeup artist for L'Oreal, the biggest makeup company in the world. I started training other makeup artists. All this in my first year in makeup, Pat.
Oh, wow.
I'm
surprised that your access into the industry was quite fast, especially like you mentioned after 3 weeks, you were already in the Philippine Fashion Week.
I can't believe it myself. So, right. If your question is how I ended up there or where I am right now, I give credit to God only. He can only open those doors for me. What I did was I took the blessing seriously and I studied everything I can to sustain the growth.
I'm curious, why do you think, particularly si Lord, not si God, no, si Lord Ramos.
si Lord.
Lord, right? Why do you think he was, he gave you that, if I'm not mistaken, that opportunity to be part of that? What do you think that, you know, because were you guys acquaintances during that time?
No.
Did he see something in you? What do you think?
Not at all. Previous to that, no. He said, get my number. That was the first thing he said. Get my number and call me tomorrow. So ako naman, okay, fine. It was my friend who really, really is so into it. Ako, I tag along lang. So when I called him, he said, okay, be here. I need you here. I think it was in Manila Pen. He said, and at that time, I can't. I super can't because I was still doing something else. So don't worry. I'm so sorry. I can't. Do you have any other dates? And said, okay, be here on this day. And I was there. And it was hands-on. So told me to do makeup right away and all that. And he verbalized that, wow, I have what it takes. So it was very fast from there on. I really believe na parang artist attracts each other. I don't know. You kind of like have this language that you don't even need to verbalize. You just know it.
My next question is related maybe to the recent thing that you just shared now. Was there a turning point where you told yourself, yes, this is for me? Being a makeup artist or a makeup professional is for me.
Okay, you meant like a career, a paying job. Is that what you meant? That this is a career for me?
Not really.
Something like that?
More on... maybe along the way that you were doing makeup, you told yourself, was there a particular moment, you know what, this is really for me. This is what I want to pursue.
Oh, okay. So holding the brush, because I'm comfortable with that, it clicked right away. But if you're talking about, I'm going to pursue this, there was no epiphany. It didn't snap. I didn't suddenly wake up saying, oh, this job is for me. You know why? Because maybe as an artist, I was always very critical of my work. Like when everybody would say, your makeup is so beautiful, Miss Verz, or my mind would be zeroing on that eyelash that's a bit crooked on the side. Or the pimple mark that nobody can see. It's weird. I'm just so critical of my work that I don't see myself patting my shoulder all the time saying, oh, you're so good at it, do it. No, siguro, if there is something that cemented that feeling that this career is for me, is when I signed up for L'Oreal as a makeup artist. The practical side of it spoke to me. Big plus is the boost that I got from my bosses. I had the best people believing in me, in what I do. They really want and believe my skill sets. So for that, I guess for that, I will always be grateful to my L'Oreal family. They gave that to me. At that time, I was already married with kids. So Maybe that's the thing. As a mom, the investment you need for this career is not a joke. That I weighed things a lot more than I should have, I guess. Maybe if I was single, I would just go, okay, fine. This is just for me. I'll go all the way. No. But yeah, so I'm a late bloomer.
You mentioned about being critical when people are giving you praise, you're zeroing in on one particular, maybe a small flaw or something. Where is this coming from? Like, why are you being so critical with this particular? Is it perfection? Is it progress? Is it what's going on in your mind when you zero in on those things?
I'd like to think it's more of a personality thing. Mm-hmm. I'm a learner. So every opportunity for me is a chance to learn. An end goal is that I did it and it's done. Me, the process matters so much. So as I am doing it, as I'm looking at the finished product, my mind is going to, okay, next time you don't do that. Next time you do this.
Okay, so it's all about continuous learning.
Yes.
Okay, what are the three things you enjoy the most about being a makeup professional?
Number one will be the makeup per se and the execution. It's therapeutic for me. It's like I can do this the whole day. It's just doing it. That's number one. Second would be the adventure. Makeup evolves. There's always something new to learn and it takes you to places. In my case, I remember 2019, I took more than 30 trips teaching, doing shoots, weddings, and events domestically. The year prior to that, I was a chief makeup artist here in the Philippines, but when I went to London, I was a student and I was loving every minute of it. 2017, I was in an international makeup trade show. It was a big place. I was drooling over the latest trend, makeups all over me. That's an adventure. That, for me, are things that I enjoy the most. But the third one is something that would put more meaning to what I do. I believe that if it's just for the fun of it, you will not be able to sustain what you do without the passion, without being able to contribute. So makeup gave me the privilege to do makeup on people I considered icons in the industry, in their fields. I got to do Miss Universe, Miss Marjorie Moran, an international supermodel that I admire so much. Coco Rocha, TV actors. I got to design makeups for theaters, for plays. I got to work with people I look up to, like Julius Catola, shows for Okada and many others. All those are great. All those are great. Even greaters are meeting people that taught me lessons directly and indirectly while they're on my chair. In some instances, on my own little way, I also feel like I got to help some too, like the skills that I have. On my chair sat not just the prettiest of the models, but I also have those that needed assistance to cover burn damages, cover flare-ups of psoriasis. I got to temporarily reconstruct face hit with broken glass, for real. And this is where those expensive tuition fees in learning how to do prosthetics and special effects paid off. So I think that sustained me, made me want to do this for a long, long time. The creative process, yes, that's true. But the giving back, that's also true.
You did mention that you learn something when your subject sits on the chair. I think in all types of profession, the best are always in between the lines. So, for example, in between those makeup reminded me when you mentioned earlier that there are things that you learned when they were sitting down. So what are the most profound things or memorable lessons or tidbits or slice of life that you were able to get from those particular moments that you mentioned?
Oh, wow. Too many. Right now, the vision that I have in mind is so two people, I guess. One, I have this client. She's already in a status where she's comfortable in life and all that. And she's really great as a person. She helps in the society. The simplicity of that person, you know, Wen, that's my client's name. she is amazing as a mom, as someone who contributes to society. She takes care of her family. And she is very simple in her choices, like hindi siya mag-garbo or things like that. That's a lesson for me. Okay? That's a lesson for me because, you know, everything is so flashy in my world. You know that.
When you're not feeling well, you either do a quick online search that only raises more questions, which, come on, let's face it, not really the best way to get a diagnosis. Or you try to think of a relative who's a doctor. Well, not everyone has a relative that's a doctor. But everyone can have unlimited access 24/7 to licensed doctors through Consulta MD. For as low as 60 pesos a month, you can enjoy unlimited voice consult, one video consult, access to e-prescription, e-laboratory requests, e-medical certificate, general health information, proper medication, and even support for mental health for the whole month. You can bump it up to 99 to 150 pesos if you want to take it to the next level. If you want peace of mind for the whole year, Consulta MD has packages ranging from 499 to 999. The access shouldn't stop with you. Best if it's shared with your partner, friends, or your families. You guys have given me the gift of time through listening to my episodes, and I'd like to reciprocate by giving the first 10 listeners the gift of having access to health advice from licensed doctors. Again, courtesy of Consulta MD. All you have to do is to follow our podcasts and share this episode on Facebook with the hashtag JobDefined.
I also learned so many lessons, but one also is with this particular girl. Her name is Barbie. I've known her for years, like 11 years to be exact. She held such a high position in L'Oreal. She would sit on my chair. At first, I would be nervous in doing her makeup because she's there. I know her. She's my boss. Getting to know her and how she sincerely cares for people with questions that she would ask, very simple, like how you are, what you're doing, and always affirming, reaffirming me. Those are lessons that I really want to do when I have somebody with me. Those are things that I want to, those are things that I emulate and would want to be also.
Since we're in we're talking about sitting on the chair, when people sit on the makeup chair, is it similar to like sitting down on a dental chair? Like I remember if I would sit down on a dental chair, I feel so vulnerable. Is that something similar? Like when your subjects sit on the chair, do they feel vulnerable? And what goes in the mind of those people in the chair? And how do you respond to that?
I never sat on that chair like I'm the one who's being made up. But this is what I can say. By the way, they tell me over and over again, okay, this is what I want. This is what I need to do over. And this is so important to me. This event is like everything. I prepared for this for months. In fact, I starved myself. I did this and went to the derma just for this day to be perfect. Meant that day, that 1 or 2 hours with her is crucial. It's important. It's something that I need to like really respect and take note of.
That's very well said. Was there a part of your job that you didn't like but learned to love? Like an acquired taste or something you felt indifferent about but ended up liking anyway?
This is the easiest to answer, but the most difficult to explain. Okay, so there is pricing, which I do not like. You're a freelancer, right? You know how that feels. It's difficult because to say that an artist should be able to name your worth is not simple for me. Okay, like when you factor in the amount of work versus the profile of the client, the materials involved, and the timing, it's hard. I feel like it's a job that I should have somebody doing the pricing for me. Okay, so that and waiting, because my personality doesn't like to wait. that thing I was able to overcome really well. The pricing thing, acquired taste. Okay, so I have to share this with you. There is this, I had a product manager in L'Oreal, Trisha. She's very analytical. We were able to put a table of computations of how much we need to pay our guest makeup artist and hairstylist. That made things easier in a way. So I try to see pricing that way too. That was something that I learned for her. We did it together, but it was something that I really learned and started doing more to get over that hang ups also. So every 2 years, I made it a point that I update my price list for my bridal packages, right? It's generic. And then when a client would ask, I send it and then we tailor fit it for her needs, something to that. So very structured. So I guess I'm not a very structured person. That's why I struggle with these things. Maybe other makeup artists, they don't at all. But me, really, pricing is super hard. You know how hard it got to me when 2020 happened? I couldn't bring myself to quote. I couldn't. It's like, parang, it was so hard for me when everything is just going gray around you. How do you price? Eventually, what I did was slash 25% of my quote. And then I would tell my client, how else can I help you? And if they were so honest to me and they tell me like, parang, you really want to get me, but we can afford it. I would just tell, okay, just say it. And I would do it. And it became like that. So, and I was happy with that because parang I needed to give back also. So that made it bearable for me.
Yeah, I think that's pretty common, especially because basically it's an art. Pricing it is quite hard. It's several contexts involved. It's also very subjective. I think that's a very legitimate struggle that you had. Going back to your childhood dream, do you think there's some sort of connection between your childhood dream and what you're currently doing right now? The thing that stood out to you in the several dreams that you had when you were younger, which is an architect, is there some sort of connection being an architect and a makeup artist?
Yes, I think so. The architect thing is not much about building a structure, but to have the ability to create, to translate a beautiful vision in mind. Siguro, I just don't have any other word for it or description for it. That's why I said I wanted to be an architect. The different bone structures to me are like buildings, lines I admire. I also love colors. I see colors when I close my eyes. I love the challenges of deciding what color to use. To be able to create is a gift. It's innate. Yeah. I think that's one. Also, you know what, Pat? I never like Barbie dolls. I hate it. No, no, I hate it. Okay, I don't like it. Don't say hate. Yeah. I love paper dolls. You know those things? Like you can really, it's flat. Mm-hmm. It's just two-dimensional one. You know, I get lost in time outlining them in papers and designing clothes and hats and whatnot. I need to create and evolve all the time. So being a makeup artist, it's something very similar to that.
It got me curious. Like, is there already a vision in your head before you even start doing the makeup? Or does it change while you're currently doing it? I'm just curious.
If a client or if I am told to do what you want as you please, to go ahead and just be yourself, practice your artistic license, I would do that, definitely. An image would come out and I would execute it to the best that I can. But in many times, a client will have a vision and I don't just start, okay, you want that? I'll do it. No, that vision would be communicated to me, interpreted by words, by photos, whatever. And I start to inject my own personal interpretation at the same time, be guided by whatever it is that they have. So that's my process. That's how I do things.
Okay. Now we go on to the next segment of this podcast, which is debunking. So what are the top three misconceptions about being a makeup professional? I think you have a lot in your head, but at least give us at least top three.
Three. Okay. Yeah, you're right. I have a lot. Number one will be a MUA is not necessarily a cosmetologist or a salon operator. Most people would have that. Okay. So you do makeup, you must know how to do hair, and you must have a salon or something like that. No, not true at all. Not true to most makeup artists that I know. Number two, the goal is to work with the client, like beautifully execute makeup every time. We don't know all the names, brands of makeup there are in the planet, and we don't pretend to know all. So that's number two. Okay, number three, which is my passion. I tell my students, they hear me say this all the time. Just because you got a certificate, just because, you know, you can apply makeup on yourself beautifully, doesn't mean that you are a makeup artist. It doesn't matter how good you are in putting makeup on your face. It's about how you execute the makeup on another person's face, sitting on your chair. That's what makes you a makeup artist. It's just like an art or a skill. It takes learning, practice, lots and lots of practice on different skin types, undertones, skin tones, facial features. It's a skill that gets better as you do it. So don't have a misconception that just because you can do it easily on your face, that you can be a makeup artist. Learn the skills. My student would hear me say, be an intelligent makeup artist. Learn the techniques by heart. Know why you do what you do and practice it as much as you can on different faces. That's the only way to go about it.
I actually like what you mentioned, that the certificate doesn't make the makeup artist. So it's really how you apply it on someone else. So it's like a blank canvas. Like the face is like a blank canvas when you, like an art piece.
That's true.
Speaking of the thing that you mentioned earlier, that one of the common misconceptions is that if you're a makeup artist, you have a salon and then you also do hair. I'm not quite sure, but I think there are job descriptions. I actually Googled earlier. There are job descriptions about being a makeup artist. Is there, when you read job descriptions about your profession, what part of it makes you cringe?
Another difficult question. I don't want to be prideful when I say this. Well, when I say that the job description is okay for me, this is what's on my contract. Maybe I have it in my personality to appreciate what's hard about the job because I enjoy the process of learning. It's actually what's not in the job description that I cringe about. It's actually what's not there, but it should be, that I cringe about. Because as a makeup artist, you offer a service, right? I offer a service, therefore my success is defined by the satisfaction of my client, not my own ego or whatever people are saying, no matter how loud it is said, that you're good or you're the best in what you do. Or maybe simply the opposite of that. If you achieve exactly what the client wants and she's very happy, very satisfied, but it's not to the satisfaction of other people. People may see it differently because it's not the trend right now, or they have bias on a particular look. I have to remember all the time that my success is defined by the satisfaction of my client. Mm-hmm. It's something I remind myself often. This is how I pull my feet on the ground. You know, this is the very thing I cringe about.
Hi Hey there, I'm Mish, host of Mishconceptions, the podcast that talks about the common struggles of modern-day millennials and Gen Zs as we all navigate through college, enter the real world, and build our careers. Let's talk about the realities of adulting and corporate world that no one will tell you about. These are the things you wish you knew sooner to get ahead in life or simply just to get by. Join me in my podcast, Mishconceptions, as we discuss maximizing college, life after college, building your career, self-improvement, relationships, and anything and everything that will help you on your personal and career development. So make sure you check out my podcast after you listen to this episode. See you there.
So before we continue with our episode, we just want to do a quick shout out to our friends from Kumu. Kumu is a Pinoy live streaming app where you can connect with Filipino streamers and celebrities. Use our link in the description to follow some amazing Kumu streamers.
Actually, I like that. Your success is based on the
satisfaction
of your clients. Yeah. Which is very, if you think about it, that should be it. That's the ultimate goal. And then another question is, what is an undeniable fact about your profession, the thing that's always going to be there?
The thing that will always be true? Well, that I am a makeup artist. My medium is makeup. The human body is my canvas. That will always be true.
Very well said. Ganda. So the next part of our segment is basically defining the career. So from your experiences, how would you define the job of a makeup artist?
You know, Pat, the longer you stay in this career, the longer that definition is. Before I used to think it's just putting on makeup. That's it. If you can put on makeup, you're a makeup artist. Now I am thinking I am an artist with makeup expertise, creating transformation through makeup. That's what I do. My goal is basically to deliver my client's vision. That will always be true. Whether it's with conventional, traditional makeup, using an airbrush, using prosthetics, using special effects, that will be my tools. That will be my ways of doing it. I design makeup looks when needed. I teach when needed. Makeup for me is evolving. It's a medium that I need to be constantly studying. Ang haba, no?
That's the more we define it, the better.
Yeah, true.
What are the three skills you need to do the job?
Many skills are needed. Top three will be, one, attention to detail. Number two will be makeup skincare knowledge, a good grasp of makeup application techniques. Sama mo na din doon, the COVID protocol in terms of sanitation, that should be included now. The non-technical part would be ability to communicate and understand the vision of the client, including the ability to be able to effectively manage the expectations. I think that's needed.
Yeah, that's so strong communication skills, right? Understanding,
right. Mm-hmm.
Delivering what messages that we need to deliver. Now, this part of my question now is, you're basically going to answer this, or you're going to complete the sentence. If you are blank, then this job is not for you. So if you are blank, then this job is not for you.
I mentioned detail-oriented. So if you are not detail-oriented, if you don't have the eyes for details, this job is not for you. If you need to be right all the time, this job is not for you. If you're not willing to be flexible, this job is not for you. If you're not willing to learn new techniques and unlearn bad habits, then this job is definitely not for you.
Wow, nice. Especially on the unlearn part. Next one is, if you are blank, then this job is for you.
Okay, just one, I guess. If you are passionate about makeup and you are willing to discipline yourself to learn the craft, then this job is for you.
Okay. So we're in the subject of the profession of the makeup artist. And then you just mentioned that if you love makeup, what is makeup? We all know that's the thing that you put on your face, but what is it on your own words?
It's not just a product. It's actually a medium, like any other artist. It's a medium that you can manipulate, that you can use, that you can explore in order for you to achieve whatever goal or vision you have on the face, on the body, or whatever it's needed. That for me is makeup.
All right. That's one way to say it. As a guy, that's a, at least now I know. I now have a deeper understanding of makeup instead of just the thing that you put on your face.
Or appreciation of women who buys them, I hope.
Now, I have this image in my head for my last question. This image in my head, you're in Teatrino. And then this is my last question. What advice would you give your younger self before you've entered this career? So you mentioned that you started in Teatrino in 2010. What advice would you give to your younger self before you've entered this career?
I would say, Verna, be patient with yourself. I'm very impatient. I told you, I don't like waiting, right? But all those years prior to me being a makeup artist, I explored a lot with tubes of acrylics, pastel chalks, tons of brushes, pencils. I thought it was for nothing. I really thought it was just for nothing, for fun, for self-gratification, because I can do it. So I would say, Verna, be patient with yourself. Verna, all those jobs you had before, you thought they were nothing, they were silly, the odd jobs that you took, like, there were a lot. There were valuable skills. It's part of you, and it's not for nothing. I would say God, the giver of your gift, will open up doors for you to use it. It will be an adventure. Enjoy it. Keep on learning.
All right. I just thought of another last question. So before we end, what's next for Verna?
Oh, that's exciting and scary at the same time. Well, I think I did mention a while ago that I'm open to a lot of things, anything artsy, anything that I have my skills for. So I still would like to do makeup. I love my brides. I still want to do exactly what I've been doing. But I'm getting my hands dirty nowadays, painting again, exploring different materials. Like, I've been buying stuff, but enjoying other mediums and stuff like that. So that's exciting. That's exciting. You know, this pandemic gave me a chance to like revisit my books. I have tons of art books. I have tons of like makeup books, and that's just exciting for me. It's exciting. It's an exciting time.
Is it safe to say that you are currently evolving again?
As always, yes. To evolve is to not breathe. To not evolve is to not breathe.
All right. And that's basically it, Verna. Thank you so much. So that's basically the podcast. We've run through all the questions. And thank you for your time. I enjoyed our conversation. It gave me a better perspective of what a makeup artist is, which is the goal of this particular episode, is to shed light in this particular profession for people to be more aware and to see that this is a choice for them to choose moving forward with their lives, whether they're in high school, college, or even if they are working, mapa quarter life crisis, midlife crisis, at least they would have a better understanding of the role. So thank you, Verna.
Thank you, Pat. This is an opportunity for me to say my piece also. Thank you.
Job Define is brought to you by Podcast Network Asia.
Check out all the shows in the network by visiting their socials at Podcast Network Asia or visiting their website at podcastnetwork.asia.
The views and opinions expressed by the podcast creators, hosts, and guests do not necessarily reflect the official policy and position of Podcast Network Asia. Any content provided by the people on the podcast are of their own opinion and are not intended to malign any religion, ethnic group, club, organization, company, individual, or anyone or anything.